Well, thank you, Brother Hector. Think about all the people that have found comfort in thinking and calling on Jesus in their hard times. Amen. That's so true. Thank you for the message. 2 Samuel chapter 10 tonight. 2 Samuel. Well, I'll get that right in a minute. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10. Verse 10 through 12. I'm going to jump into a big story here. I hope you've read your Bible enough to kind of be in on it. It's one of the sad stories in the Bible to me, really. Has to do with the family of King David. And, of course, the results of sin and the reaping for sin. And talk to you a little bit tonight on the conspiracy was great. That's found in verse 12. Verse 10, but Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. Sounds like Washington, D.C. Verse 11. Verse 12, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. The statement, the conspiracy was strong. I want to kind of take that as for my thought tonight. I want you to get to the background. Most of you know what a conspiracy is. A conspiracy generally involves more than one person. Now, it may be instigated by one, and sometimes it's a group of men like was following with Absalom here. They didn't know anything, just useful idiots. Got plenty of them in the world today. And the conspiracy was put together. A conspiracy can begin with one. It can be of one and using somebody else. I've told you the story maybe sometime in the past at about the end of World War II, when folks rode trains a little more. On a particular train, sitting across, facing each other like the seats did, there was a mother and a daughter. Right across from them was a general and a PFC. You know what that is, private first class? All right, that's about as high as some of us got. But a private, and they're just kind of sitting there, you know, having to look at each other and be a little bit cordial. And so they're riding the train, but the train went through a dark tunnel. And in the tunnel, there was heard a smack, like a big kiss, and slap. They come out on the other side in the daylight, and the young daughter there, she thought that private tried to kiss me and got mixed up and kissed mother, and she slapped the fire out of him. That's what the daughter thought. Well, the mother thought that private tried to kiss my daughter and she slapped him and he deserves it. The general thought that private tried to kiss that young lady and she slapped and got me. Hit me instead. And the private, he just smiled and thought, what a great country this is where a fella could smack his wrist and slap the fire out of a general. Now, little conspiracy. Most of us think of conspiracy in a different way. Politically, a lot of conspiracy. We'll certainly live in that day and time today, no doubt about it. But Absalom here had his own conspiracy. He'd been brought back. He'd been in exile because he'd had to run because he'd killed his brother over his brother violating his half-sister. And yet David finally sent for him and brought him back, but said, you can't see my face. I'm not going to have any fellowship with you, but I want you back home. And so a number of years had gone by, but Absalom had been working a conspiracy. He'd been standing at the gate. That means kind of in view of the city and talking to people. And every time a man had a problem coming to see King David to help him out, Absalom would say, if I was king, I could help you. Dad can't, but I'd do something for you if I was king. And so he kept building his conspiracy, building his popularity, till the day finally came that he told King David, I'm going away. I got a vow over here to pay that I made. And yet he told everybody, when you hear the trumpet, you shout that Absalom is ruling in Hebron, the city there, not downhill somewhere from Jerusalem. And the conspiracy, it says in the text here, was very, very great. I want to say today that this treachery, this conspiracy certainly parallels and gives us a current application of what's going on in the world today. We look around today and we see today's conspiracy. It's great and it's growing, no doubt about it. There's two countries right now that's not going along with the rest of the world's plan. That's America and Israel. And both of their leaders are under great attack. If you want to do some real study, check out the fulfillment of the verses that Moses wrote in the Old Testament, like Deuteronomy, and see how that because of Israel missing the Messiah and getting astray from God, how they have been persecuted down through history, how they've been chased from one country to the other. And today when you hear about some of these people, the Muslim lady and others are talking against Israel, they call it anti-Semitism. That's what it is, but it's very old. And it is certainly very wrong, and it's increasing the day and time now that we live in. And it is unbelievable in the news today, the left-wing schemes that's going on, where they call the president's personal lawyer, Cohen. By the way, that's a Jewish name. Do you know that? Michael Cohen. That's one of the priestly tribe names of some of the priesthood in Israel. And yet they called him in and they put the pressure on him to attack the president from the inside. You know, the person that can do you the most harm is the one that's closest to you when they turn on you. And that's what they wanted out of him. Now we find out they brought him in. They quizzed him for 6 or 8 hours. Now we find out that investigating committee, the Democratic committee, had already met with him 10 hours and programmed him. Now, that's just unfair, folks. I mean, when you give somebody the questions ahead of time and program them and all that business, and yet I see the hand of God in it because he didn't do that much harm. That's an amazing thing. But we look around today and we see all this sort of stuff. It's just unbelievable. There's left-wing schemes that's going on. And now I said it this morning, we got 3 or 4 women up there. You know, I wonder where the men are at. I'd like to see some men stand up with some backbone once in a while. And ladies, sometimes when you're out of line, a man ought to tell you to shut up. Amen and amen, Mickey. And they're out of line. Somebody ought to say something to them. Amen. It's amazing. By the way, if you want to see a verse, I'm in the Bible right now. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 3. And you know the threat in Isaiah chapter 3 God makes to Israel? Israel's in trouble with God here, in this, in old Israel here in the book of Isaiah. And it says here that God is talking about him, how he's going to remove the mighty man. He's going to remove the man of war. He's going to remove the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient. He's going to remove the honorable men. And in verse 4 of chapter 3 of Isaiah, he says, and I will give children to be their princes, and babies shall rule over them. But he don't quit there. If you move on up into the verse just a little bit further, you'll find out that he also says, I'm going to make women rule over you. Now you say, what's wrong with a woman being a ruler? Well, sometimes there's some positions God reserved, and if you get in them, you're out of place. Help yourself. I'm sick enough, I'm probably not caring a whole lot what happens tonight, so I just buckle your seatbelt and tie a knot in it. We'll be all right. Amen? And I want to tell you, we've had some good woman rulers. We had Margaret Thatcher in England, and sometime a woman has to step up because there's no man around. No man with a spine, no man with any guts. That's about what it amounts to. In verse 12 of Isaiah chapter 3, it says, as for my people, children are their oppressors,
and women rule over them. God is using this as though it were a punishment, though he is bringing it on them, and he's rebuking the men that ought to be the rulers and ought to be standing up for what's right. And he's saying, you've got to the place that babes and women are having to rule over you because there's no man that can be found. And brother, we're getting right close to that in America today, no doubt about it. You know, some of the foolishness that's going on right now is unbelievable. We're seeing the so-called millennials as we read the polls. You know what they call the millennials? That's the younger crowd. That's the crowd that like was following Absalom here. They don't know anything. And it's showing 70% of the polls of the millennials believe that socialism is better than capitalism. What a joke. Let them go into Venezuela. Let them go into Russia. Let them go into Cuba. Let them find out what the difference is. And I guarantee you the polls had changed then. But we got that business going on. What happened in the election was rural America woke up for a little while. I hope they'll stay awake. I'm not sure that we have the greatest numbers because everything has come in. Can't have a borders, can't have a sovereign country. You got to bring in everybody. You got to give them a paycheck. You got to let them vote. And folks, you can not have a nation when you don't have boundaries. And that's where we're at right now. The conspiracy is working against what God founded in the beginning of our foundation with our forefathers. That's all being torn down. There's a conspiracy going on to destroy America. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I mentioned this before and I'll just pass it very quick. Somebody says, what about a civil war? Well, it's kind of hard to do that. You can't get your shotgun and your rabbit gun out and fight jet airplanes with it. But the truth of the matter is, I would love to see some generals with a backbone that would step up and say, the army knows what's right, and we're going to stay on the right side of things. And if I get arrested for what I'm preaching tonight, come see me. I have no confidence in you after the other Wednesday night. Let them cart me out of here. White coats come and got me. Ray, you shook my hand on the way out, but you didn't get me off that stretcher. And Brother Chase was over here, and he shook my hand, but he more or less was just being sympathetic with me. None of you stood up and fought for me. All right, I'm just telling you, I took notes, I took names. All right, I'm joking with you. But rural America was asleep, and we didn't think there was any hope. And then we found out we could wake up, we could say something, we could go to the polls, we could make a difference. And we got a rough cob of a guy in there when it comes to his language and his background. But bless God, he's got guts enough to say this is right, and this is right, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. And I praise the Lord for that. Amen. Somebody wrote a letter to the Ledger today, some wimpy Christian, so-called. Said, I think Christians ought to be against, you know, the president because we ought to stand for the environment. I do stand for the environment as it's written in the Bible, not as it's interpreted by the liberals today. And as it's written in the Bible, this whole world's going to last just as long as God wants it. The air is going to last long enough. The water is going to last long enough. All the part that God put on earth to sustain us is going to last till he says that's enough. And he's going to take care of that. And he's in charge of that. And anyway, could there be a civil war? Well, I'd love to see our nation saved. I would hate to see bloodshed. But I read an article this week by a fellow that's pretty discerning. He said, if you've noticed, it's the left wing, the nuts, that are doing all the violence and doing all the harm and doing all the dirty tricks. He said the right is being very patient and holding back. But he said, you better watch out if they wake up. And I know what he's talking about. Somebody asked an Indian one time, said, how come there's not so many of you? And the Indian said, well, you just wait till they start playing cowboy and Indian with you, and there won't be as many of you left either. Do you understand what he's saying? Sometimes just because somebody is holding back and being restrained don't mean they don't have the power to do something. Better watch out for it. I'm talking about today's conspiracy. I want to say, though, there's an unseen conspiracy behind it all. It's satanic. It's been through all through history. It was behind the movement of Hitler. Hitler, by the way, was a socialist movement. Did you know that? When you hear about this thing of socialism, Listen, what we're really seeing today is godly values under attack. And part of this book says that a man shall not eat if he won't work. Amen? And the work ethic is in this book. Freedom is in this book. And capitalism gives you freedom to earn and to keep what you earned and use it the way you want to use it. Socialism says, give it all to me and we'll give you some of it back. The part we want you to give back, and we'll tell you how to use it. Folks, you don't want that. You don't have any freedom under socialism and communism. You lose your freedom. You lose your freedom. You got a crowd out there that thinks somebody else ought to earn it and then give it to me. And that's the crowd that's going to lose their freedom. Listen, if you want security, just go down there and let them lock you up. You can be secure in the jail. They'll even feed you such as it is. You got security, you're taken care of. But you pay for it with no freedom. No freedom of movement. No freedom of owning and dealing with anything. Amen? That's the devil's plan. It's an unseen conspiracy. He is behind it. God has always, though, intervened in history at extreme points. Do you know that the Tower of Babel was an extreme point? There was a man, a ruler by the name of Nimrod, right? And he was defying God. He was going to put everything together in one lump. That's still what's behind this thing, globalism. I said the leaders of Israel and America right now are the two leaders that are standing up against globalism. No wonder they're hated. No wonder they're being conspired against. No wonder they're being lied on and framed, because he's not going along with the globalist program. That's what's going on today. That's the devil's plan, to put his one world government together. No doubt about it. But at certain times in history, God's intervened. He intervened at the Tower of Babel. There was a time that Islam, almost in the 700s, almost overran Europe. I mean, come all the way to Tours, France. And a Frenchman by the name of Charles Martel, they called him the Hammer. He stood up and he stood against the hordes of Islam, and he was able to turn it back. And what we need right now, some folks to stand up against this conspiracy, where we even got to the place of Congress that we'll take an enemy that will chop our heads off if they get in control and elect them to Congress. Something is sick there. Really, really sick. But God intervened and stopped Islam back then. He stopped the Tower of Babel. Way before that, he intervened in Noah's day, and when the seed was corrupted, and he can still intervene. I believe he intervened in World War I and II. I really believe. I believe America played the right part in that. If America hadn't got involved, most of you'd be speaking German right now. Amen. Say, what did I get into tonight? Just be real still and quiet. Nobody will know you care. And if you think different than what I'm saying, just be quiet and you'll get by with it. You can sneak out and never come again. Amen. But if you do come again, you may hear it again. Amen. No, this one worldism thing, I'm praying God's going to intervene. There's a big conspiracy against America going on. There's a conspiracy against Israel going on right now, because they're not playing ball with the elitists, with the globalists. That's what's going on. This conspiracy with Absalom failed. Oh, I wish you'd read the whole story. It's something. Absalom rallied the men that didn't know anything. It's a sad thing. You see David as he has to leave the city of Jerusalem, as he walks across the Kidron Valley. He's got his shoes off. He's weeping. His own son is bringing a rebellion against him. It's a sad time. Old man by the name of Shimei gets up on the hillside as David walks, and he throws stones at David, and he curses David, and he kicks dust at David. And some of David's men said, let me take his head off. And David said, no, no, leave him alone. Maybe God ordained it to say that. Boy, it's a sad time. They're going out into the wilderness, hiding from his own son. Then amazing thing takes place. Absalom is able to go and get the chief counselor, what we might say the personal attorney, personal advisor to his dad, King David, an old family friend by the name of Ahithophel. He's able to get him to come over on his side, and I often wondered about why. And then I got to studying the scripture, and I discovered something. When David committed his sin with Bathsheba,
She was Ahithophel's granddaughter. Ahithophel's son's child, married to Uriah, and David committed adultery with her. And I'll tell you what, that stuck in the craw of Ahithophel. And when the time came that he could strike back at David, he did. And so he joined with Absalom. And he gave wise counsel to Absalom. And only God intervened and defied the counsel with another counselor. And only God made Absalom choose the wrong advice. And Ahithophel, when he found out his counsel had been rejected, he went home, put his house in order, and hanged himself. But a conspiracy was strong. The conspiracy was big. And it only failed. It only failed because God got in it. Absalom's out there in the field. Now the people of Israel and those that followed King David, they engaged in battle out there. And you remember the story? Now here's a king whose son wants to kill him, and yet the king don't want his son hurt. And so he gives the captain of his guard, Joab, he gives him order, don't hurt the young man. Joab was somewhat of a rebellious commander, and David had made a mistake of including Joab in a conspiracy to kill Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. And from that time on, Joab had little respect for David. He carried out his orders. He had Uriah go into the forefront of the battle, and he had the men withdraw, and Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, was killed. So when David gave him the orders, don't kill my son, Joab didn't pay him much mind. It's an interesting thing. If you ever heard Roloff preach on this a little bit, he had a sermon and the mule walked on. Anybody ever heard? And the mule walked on. That's a good one. Because what he's talking about was the death as God's judgments fell on Absalom. Absalom's riding his mule. He goes under a big oak tree. Now, Absalom was full of pride. He had a long hair for a man, a beautiful head of hair. He pulled it or cut it once a year and waited. He was proud of it. As he went on that tree, that pride got him, and that hair got caught in the branches. And the mule, as Roloff said, walked on. And he walked out under Absalom. And there Absalom is hanging in the tree by his hair. Somebody tells Joab, he's hanging in the tree. And Joab says, why didn't you kill him? He said, I'm not going to kill him. I heard what his dad said. His dad told you not to kill him. Joab took 3 darts and went and put it through the heart of Joab. And when David got the message, that runner came back from the field, and David said, how is the battle going? And they said, it's going well. And he said, well, what about my son? And the messenger said, oh, I wish all of your enemies were like him. He's dead. He's dead. The truth is, David began to weep. Yeah, a pitiful cry in the Bible is, Absalom, Absalom, oh, my son, Absalom. As he grieved, the conspiracy had failed. Absalom had fallen, and it failed because of God. Today we look around and we see a lot of things failing because God gets into it. See, the globalization plan is not going to work. It's going to seem to work for a little while. It's going to be short-lived because God's already preordained. He's going to set his son on the throne. His son. Yes, there is coming a world government under Jesus Christ. A little while under Antichrist, but it won't last long. And just like old Absalom, he's going to meet his judgment. He's going to run afoul of God. God has ordained a kingdom for his son. The purpose of this satanic conspiracy, real bottom line, is to destroy souls. If you're here and you're unsaved, whether you know it or not, that conspiracy is aimed at you. You know, socialism just didn't start. It wasn't just put on the table here in the last few months or even in the last several hundred years. It's never worked anywhere. It's always failed. Its first failure was in the Garden of Eden when Satan tried to tempt Eve and said, God is withholding something from you, something good, and deceived her. And, of course, Adam was, she's the one deceived, but Adam also of his free will. brought the human race into its depravity, into its sin. But you know, the real problem behind that is the same test you face now. Eve faced it as she took of the forbidden fruit. You know what she had to do? She had a choice you got right now. Believe God or the devil. Believe the serpent representing Satan there, or believe God. You face that every day, don't you? You face it all the time. Which one? One voting for you, one voting against you. Where are you voting? The truth of the matter is, it's too bad, but a lot of folks often fall for the conspiracy of the devil. He's working against them all the time, all the time. This thing's going to come to a head, folks. There's a lot of good, spiritual, discerning, biblical scholars that are saying, how much longer can it go? How much more can it pile up before God says that's enough? And I agree with them. I thought long time ago God's long suffering was used up, but he's still allowing people to hear about Jesus and trust Jesus and come and be saved. Still have the opportunity to believe God over the devil. You know what is happening right now? And it's going to happen much, much more. Right now on this earth, there are saved people and there's lost people. Those that have believed God and those that are still in the conspiracy of the devil. But the time is coming that we believers call the rapture, when the trumpet's going to sound and we're going to be called out. You know what God's doing? He's marshaling his army. And we're going to gather up. We're going to get some scenes in heaven, maybe the judgment seat and some other things. But we're basically going to unite, be marshaled into heaven to return as an army. And Revelation 19 says we're coming back, following our commander-in-chief, following the Lord Jesus Christ on the white horse of heaven. We're coming back to help him set up his kingdom. The conspiracy is going to fall. It's going to fail, just like it did in the days of Absalom. See, God had placed David on the throne. Absalom didn't care for that. The world today don't want Jesus on the throne. I guarantee you they don't. They're voting against him every day. They're voting against him when they destroy our history. They're voting against him when they take the crosses down. They're voting against him every kind of way they can. But God's vote says he's the man. He's going to be the one. He's going to sit on the throne of David. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And all conspiracies raised against God is going to fail. I want to ask you tonight, don't be part of the conspiracy. Get on the winning side. God is the one that has the right to set kings on thrones. And he has said that he is going to set his son up as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's going to happen no matter who conspires to prevent it. He is going to sit on that throne as God has said. Amen. Let's stand, please. Father, we come to you in prayer. Help us, Lord, to stay right. Help us to not be deceived in a day of conspiracy increasing in every kind of way, every kind of thing we can hardly imagine. Lord, even in the last 10 years, we can hardly imagine what's happened. And yet, Father, we still know your will's going to be done. Your son is going to sit on the throne. Father, he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This whole world don't want it, but your will is going to be done. Thank you, Father, that there's a day in my life and a day in the lives of so many listening to me that they let Jesus sit on the throne of their heart. They let him be not only their Savior, but their King, their boss, the one that leads them, whose word is above all other word. I pray tonight you'd help each one in the listening audience today to let Jesus be the one that leads them, the one they listen to, the one that they follow, and the one that guides them. I pray against the conspiracies of this world, and Father, I pray we'd not get discouraged when it looks like everything is against truth, everything is against your values. Help us to realize, Father, that you're still got a plan, and that plan is going to happen. No matter all the planning and all the trickery and all the deceivableness that's working against your truth today, that truth is still going to win out. I pray you'd bless the invitation. Help us, if nothing else, tonight as your people to just say, Lord, I want you to rule in my heart. Help me not to be deceived with the foolishness of this whole world. Help me to speak up and stand up when I have the opportunity to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to talk to others about their souls. Bless the soul-winning trip that we're getting ready for now. And Father, I pray you'd bless this moment in the invitation, that you speak to our hearts about what you'd have us do. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God's asked you to do something tonight. You do it as we have a verse of invitation.
All to Jesus.